All right, we are back in studio for Speak Up. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And I am here in studio with our very own programming coordinator, Jesse Wentzloff.
Hello.
Yeah, and I wanted to have this discussion just because both of us were at the National Community Campus Radio Conference in Nanaimo last week, and we were there for the entire week, essentially.
Tuesday to Friday.
Yep. Yes.
Well, Tuesday to Saturday, I guess, if you include travel.
Yeah. And it was my first conference, and I feel like there were so many takeaways and so many things I learned and so many people that I met that it just made sense to talk about it on radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, the first thing I want to talk about is the first thing that we kind of experienced as part of the conference, which was the keynote at the very beginning with John Bissett.
Yes.
Who is the executive chief director of the Community Radio Association of Australia. And that was really eye-opening. One, because, you know, I guess I had never considered that, oh, other countries are doing this.
Right.
But that not only are other countries doing this, but they're doing this on a level that we are not necessarily at yet within
sure.
Canada.
Yeah, so he's John is with the, I think it's the Community Broadcasters Association of Australia, because they have some TV involved as well, which A, points to one major difference in that they have that sort of like unified organization for both radio and television, because they have some community television stations. But like you're saying, they, you know, they have a very strong community radio culture in Australia, and part of that, it's a little chicken and the egg, I think, because part of it is that they are very well funded. Like, they receive a substantial amount of government funding on a yearly basis that just goes towards sort of like core operational funding for radio stations. But part, you know, they have that funding because they have a real buy-in from Australian people and government, but also they have that buy-in because they have that buy-in because they have funding. So it's kind of chicken-egg-y there. But, yeah, they have all sorts of cool things, like one central app for every Australian community radio station where you can just check in and listen to any station and find their programming and stuff, which for us was like, what? We barely have an app of our own. And, you know, when he says, oh, and our app is much better than an app any individual station could make, it really sort of was like, critical hit. But, you know, it's interesting because one of the things he talked about was that, you know, one of the things that really pushed forward and confirmed the importance of community radio in Australia was their response and role in reporting on the forest fires that swept across the entire, is this Australia continent, Oceania? I guess it's Australia itself is not the continent. Anyway, yeah. Forest fires all the way, well, fires, wildfires all across Australia. And community broadcasters played a really key role because there are many places where they were the only media source, where they, you know, the public broadcaster didn't reach that far or what have you. And there are people who are, you know, like many of the programmers here, so dedicated to what they do and to the community that they stuck around and broadcast in many cases for like 48 hours straight. And, you know, far from me wanting a similar event to force Canadians to recognize the importance of campus community radio, it was just interesting to see how that all came about, I guess.
Yeah, I think sometimes maybe, at least in my head, that sort of signified the idea that, like, maybe radio isn't something that is seen as almost an essential mm-hmm. as part of just society until something like that happens.
Totally. When cell phone service goes down and you realize that the only information you can get is through a radio, it changes things. So thanks for listening to the radio. And make sure you have one, because when disasters occur, sometimes that's the only way to get sort of mass broadcast information.
Yeah, absolutely. But The next thing I wanted to talk about is almost the opposite of that.
Yeah, there was lots of like positive and exciting things also beyond, we'll save you if there's giant forest fires.
Exactly, yeah. And one of those things was another workshop that both of us attended from the, I think it was programming coordinator.
Interim programming coordinator at Met Radio.
Program
right?
director. Quentin Bradshaw. Of Met Radio in Toronto, which I only recently found out is 1280 AM.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an FM radio station.
No, but going back to, I mean, they're also relatively a relatively recent station in the scheme of the campus community radio landscape. And as I'm sure you can imagine, the FM dial is very, very saturated in Southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. So it can be tough to get an application in and be successful when there are other, let's say, better financed organizations that can apply for those spots and are bidding for those spots in a way that a community radio station doesn't necessarily have the ability to. But I also think that it's interesting because when I took on the role of programming coordinator, my in-laws sent me a little portable radio as like a congratulations thing, which I initially kind of rolled my eyes at and then have used it every day since. Because it's really nice to be able to just flick on the radio, but it only has an FM band, right?
Okay.
And I think it's rarer, more and more rare to have access to AM. But they also, stream online like we do, cgsf.ca. But yeah, just an interesting thing. But the workshop itself.
Yes, the workshop. So the workshop was titled Audio Playground. And it was a workshop on how to introduce sort of more fun and silly and whimsical audio practices to your radio. And that was something that was really awesome for me because since October, I have primarily been doing journalism work and, that's been really rewarding and really fun in a lot of ways, but there isn't that, I guess, room for whimsy that other radio has. And I think you had spoken to this that, you can just do radio because it's fun.
Totally. It doesn't all have to be serious forest fire rescue. That's obviously a big part. Well, hopefully not a big part of what we do that specifically. But the serious sort of journalistic and news side of things is very important and a big part of what we do. But it's also not the only thing we do. And, I think the cultural perception of particularly campus radio or as sort of the American terminology has sort of seeped in, college radio, has always really been sort of music focused in North America. That's another thing that John from the CBAA in Australia was surprised by was in Australia, it's, 90% talk from the stations, or that's how it was framed anyways, that most of the stations are very talk focused and primarily talk. Whereas here, a lot of people get into it because they want to play music and they do that because they like music and because it's fun to share music. And I think that it's important to keep that in mind and to think about how we can do that in what we do beyond just, playing music we like. It's okay to have fun and admit that we do this because we like it and it's fun. And, you might be listening because, you could be listening for so many reasons and you might be listening for the reason that you want serious stuff, but occasionally something fun happens and it's cool, and that is one of the things that really sets us apart from commercial stations. I mean, there's lots of funny stuff on commercial, like that is kind of the concept of morning radio on a commercial station is that it's fun and boppy. But beyond just sort of, telling jokes and laughing at stuff in the news, there are, Quentin had some examples of things that are just really out there and fun and silly and fun to do and fun to listen to. They talked about a sort of block party that they did outside of the station where they recorded a time capsule. They set up a phone booth with a microphone in it and had people come by and just record all sorts of things. And they played some clips from that. And you know, it's silly. It's people talking about what they're wearing. It's people talking about just mundane, weird, interesting, silly things.
Yeah, I particularly was a fan of the kid talking about their zip-off shorts.
Yes.
Just little things like that. I think, yeah, when you can tell that the person creating the radio is having a good time, is having fun, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes people want to tune in.
Yeah. I am realizing now that I should have... So the workshop ended in sort of a series of exercise. Well, an exercise where there were a series of prompts to go do something fun. And I'm realizing now that probably would have been good to have the piece that I recorded ready to play for this right now.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Oh, man, that would have been good. But I guess we can describe them.
Sure, yeah. So one of the prompts was... to write a eulogy and for a specific thing. And I wrote a eulogy for Gene, who was with me for a very long time and, you know, was always, you know, always full and just rock steady, really solid, indestructible, provided a lot of refreshment and reprieve to me, and was with me every day until I lost Gene somewhere in the streets of Los Angeles. So, Nalgene water bottle, I'll miss you forever.
Thank you so much for that rendition of...
Yeah. It's a live riffing version of what I recorded. But, you know, the prompt was write a eulogy for an object you've lost. And that's stupid, right? But it's also, I loved that water bottle. And when I lost it, it meant, you know, it was really like, it felt like I had lost an appendage or, you know, a part of me. So it was nice. It's nice to be able to, in a lighthearted way, pay homage to that very true feeling and experience, yeah. Right?
I mean, yeah, I think the emotional attachment that one can get to a water bottle should not be understated. Mm-hmm. It can mean a lot. Yeah, I mean, the piece I did, I don't necessarily know that it was even in the list of prompts that was provided, but the thing is, the conference was on Vancouver Island University, and one thing that I did not know about Vancouver Island University before we got there is that it is just surrounded by bunny rabbits.
Yeah, what some might say infested with.
Yeah, but some might
overrun by.
You know what? I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really awesome to see all those bunny rabbits. They are invasive, but they're also adorable. So it was, you know,
they cancel each other out.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. And the piece I did was I pretended to be a local reporter at Vancouver Island University. And I wanted to interview a bunny rabbit on the local food options on campus. And, you know, it's not hard to find a bunny rabbit, so I found one quite quickly. Obviously, you can't really hear any noise. You can kind of just hear, like, the little rustling mm-hmm. that it's making. And then it ran away from me. So that was the piece that I did. And I actually, yeah, I have the recording of it, but I don't have it here in studio, unfortunately, mm-hmm. so I cannot play it. But, yeah, it was just a lot of fun. And I think it just reaffirmed that, yeah, radio doesn't need to all be news and talk folk. I mean, you know, that obviously was a talk piece, but it doesn't need to be all so serious.
Totally.
Know?
It reminded me, I went to BCIT's broadcasting or radio arts and entertainment program, and we had to produce a whole bunch of different things. And there was a news feature that was called West Coast Watch that was just supposed to be like a 90-second mini feature on something to do with the West Coast. And it was, the way it worked is we sort of rotated through roles, and so every day you had a different thing you had to do. And when it was my turn to do West Coast Watch, I went down to Crab Park and pretended to throw watches into the ocean to see which ones were best suited for West Coast applications. And it was very stupid and very fun. It was so much fun to put together, and you know, that was like legitimately over a decade ago, and I still think about it because I had so much fun doing it, and they were so mad at me because, you know, they were very mad, and you know, this is very well produced. You obviously put a lot of time into it. You obviously know what you're doing is absolutely not what we asked you to do. 70%. And so I just, that, you know, without really thinking about it, has become a really sort of core part of how I think about radio sometimes, in that, yeah, like, it's good to be, you know, there is a place and a time for high quality factual news reporting, and there's also a time to just be silly and take advantage of the immense freedom that we have here to bring you out there things that you're not going to hear on any other radio station. And I think that's the main thing, is that we do get to do a lot of stuff that you're just never going to hear anywhere else.
Yeah. I think another thing that this conference really showed to me is that there are so many, I don't want to say issues, but, you know, things that we face as a community radio station that we are just so not alone in. And mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things I heard from a lot of people is, how do we let people know just how low barrier we are?
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I was an SFU student for a lot of years. And, well, okay, I don't want to say a lot of years, like five. It took me 5 years to do my degree. And, you know, I think a lot of people just at SFU specifically, which is where we are resided, don't know how easy it is to just become involved in sort of any capacity. You know, you don't need to be specifically on air. You don't need to host a show. But there are just so many different things you can do at the station. And you can kind of do it on your own terms.
Mm-hmm. That's a big thing, is, like, yes, there are a ton of different roles, and I mean, you don't even need a role is kind of the thing. You can come in and do anything at the station in any capacity on your own terms. You know, like, we have our code of conduct, and there's training you need to do before you can do certain things and all that. But the timing of when you do things and how much time you spend doing things is very much up to you. And we, like you said, try to be as low barrier as possible, and that you don't need anything except the desire to come and do something, really. And even if you don't know what it is you want to do, and you just want to be involved in a community of people who embrace the weird and the silly and the interesting and the alternative, you can do that. You don't even need to do anything to be a part of CJSF. You can just come hang out in the lounge, right? You can just come, you know, grab a record and listen to it. You can come sit in on a show. You can come make your own show. You can come record an interview that gets played on a show once a month. Like, there's such a wide range of ways you can get involved and degrees to which you can get involved, and it is very much like choose your own adventure. We try to provide structure sometimes, because sometimes the blank page can be very daunting, but we also really like the blank page, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we have an amazingly comfy couch, so if anyone wants to hang out in the mm-hmm. lounge, please do. I think one part of that too is just that I think historically radio has seemed like something that isn't super accessible to be involved with. So I think people just hear radio station and they assume there is some level of skill or hoops you need to go through in order to attain that. But no.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to get on air and start doing radio, there's like a cumulative 3 hours of training, which does not all have to be done at the same time. So but it is possible to come up today and be hosting the radio by next week. Like, that's entirely feasible if you have the time to spend a few hours up here, right? So mm-hmm. We try to be really super accessible, because, you know, the other side of the fun and whimsy thing is that we don't necessarily always know what the best idea is, right? Like, you might have an idea for a radio show or a segment or a promotional initiative or a PSA campaign that we have just never thought about, and we'd love to hear about it, right? So yeah, just come make radio with us, or any campus community radio station, but especially us.
All right, the last topic of discussion that I want to go into, just because we have about 6 minutes left, is Robin's workshop.
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to talk about that for 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Yeah.
Robin, of course, Robin Erickson, my predecessor in the programming coordinator position here at CJSF. She was our programming coordinator for 8.5 years. Mm-hmm. She hired me. She hired Connor. She hired Connor's predecessor. She hired Connor's predecessor's predecessor.
She helped hire me.
She helped hire Danny. She, most of the execs, she has been involved in every aspect of CJSF for a long time and super influential. And she host of Intravenous on Wednesdays and Roots and Berries on Friday, former host now. So you're probably familiar with her if you listen to the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But her workshop was very vague. And to the extent that, you know, we knew she was giving a workshop and multiple people from the station came and we all told her we were excited about it. And every time I talked to her about it before the workshop started, she was like, yeah, we'll see what happens. I haven't really figured it out yet. But then it started and it was just this beautiful, both quintessentially Robin and quintessentially community radio experience of, doing this like weird abstract conceptual work that then turned into a really strikingly accurate metaphor for all the different ways we make community radio, the challenges we face, and all of this. So she had us build a machine, in her words, she started with a gesture and a sound. And the idea was that we would build this like weird alternate universe radio space.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Robin started with a
yeah.
And then I tapped the mic like boom boom. And it all and then people add bits and pieces in.
Little bells and whistles. Yeah.
Right. And what really killed was everything's going and Frieda Worden, our former public affairs coordinator before my predecessor in that position, just went uh-oh. And it was just everyone in the room barely containing their laughter at that and their recognition of how real that moment was. And then, you know, we wrap up. We did multiple iterations of that, and one where we were making music and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, Robin then had us give feedback in the form of, did anyone else feel that blank? And so one of the things that came up, for example, is, did anyone else feel that they were really anxious about how their noise was going to go until they started doing it, and then it was great?
Yeah.
And that in itself is the the experience of doing a radio program, right? Or anything creative, really, but of this, like, oh my God, how's it going to go? How's it going to go? Oh, I'm so nervous.
Yeah, like,
is
right
it going to work?
Until the moment,
and then it happens, and you... this is fun. I'm enjoying this. Again, fun comes back into it. I really love that. And I've talked about it a lot. So if you have anything to say, I will let you.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of things we talked about. I think one thing that I had said was, did anyone, you know, not know what was going to come out of their mouth is the thing. Because I remember, especially for the music one, I had no idea what was going to happen when I started my noise. And then I basically, like, sang.
Mm-hmm.
And that really surprised me. But I think just the environment that we were in and with all these other noises going on, I felt comfortable enough to do that. And I think that's another huge part of community radio is that it's not just you.
Mm-hmm. And with all the other noises going on, you're comfortable being yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And just, you know, the fact that, like, you know, this wasn't orchestrated in any formal sort of way, but it sounded really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was really awesome.
Yeah. And I think that all plays into or ties into Robin was also honored at the Community Radio Awards in Broadcasting and Online Gala, the Crabos. I got to surprise her. She thought she was just giving a keynote speech, and anyway. But her speech that she gave really emphasized embracing the weird, embracing strangeness, embracing strangers, being strangers, and this real core element of the community radio ethos that is you can be who you are. You should be who you are. You're welcome here. And we want to hear what you have to say and what you think and what you want to put out there.
Yeah, she said that strange times call for strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of weirdness, wackiness, whimsy in community radio, and it we need you to make it stay that way. So if you are interested in becoming involved in the station in any sort of capacity, please do.
Yeah. And up next is the least weird and wacky show we air, Democracy Now!, which is, again, a huge part of the community radio landscape, is telling the truth and talking about hard things as well. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Danny.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for speaking with me on this. It was a lot of fun, and you will hear me every Tuesday for the foreseeable future on Speak Up.